And let us turn in God's Word to Deuteronomy chapter 12 as we continue looking at Deuteronomy chapter 12 as we are reminded that God is very clear and careful about how we are to worship Him. And He makes a distinction between worship and the killing of animals, and we have to understand that as well as we live in a culture that becomes more and more pagan, and people yell and scream very interesting things in our culture about using animals for food. We have to understand what God says about these things instead of just what man comes up with. So let us hear together God's word from Deuteronomy chapter 12, the whole of the chapter. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you to possess all the days that you live on the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. And you shall destroy all their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things, but you shall seek a place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put His name for His dwelling place. And there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heaved offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all which you have put your hand. You and your households in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. For as yet you have not come to the rest and inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. But when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and He gives you rest from all your enemies round about so that you dwell in safety, then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make His name abide. There you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, and all the choice offerings which you vow to the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levite who is within your gates, since he has no portion nor inheritance with you. Take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord chooses in one of your tribes. There you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. However, you may slaughter and eat meat within your gates, whatever your heart desires, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which He has given you. The unclean and the clean may eat of it, of the gazelle and of the deer alike. Only you shall not eat the blood. You shall pour it on the earth like water. You may not eat within your gates the tithe of your grain and of your new wine, or your oil, of the firstborn of your herd or your flock, of any of your offerings which you vow, of your freewill offerings or of the heave offerings of your hand. But you must eat them before the Lord your God in the place which the Lord your God chooses, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite who is within your gates. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all to which you put your hands. Take heed to yourself that you do not forsake the Levite as long as you live in your land. When the Lord your God enlarges your border, as He has promised you, and you say, "Let me eat meat," because you long to eat meat, you may eat as much meat as your heart desires. If the place where the Lord your God chooses to put His name is too far from you, then you may slaughter from your herd and from your flock, which the Lord your God has given you, just as I have commanded you, and you may eat within your gates as much as your heart desires. Just as the gazelle and the deer are eaten, so you may eat them. The unclean and the clean alike may eat them. Only be sure that you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life. You may not eat the life of the meat. You shall not eat it. You shall pour it on the earth like water. You shall not eat it, that it may go well with you and your children after you, when you go when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord. Only the holy things which you have and your vowed offerings you shall take and go to the place which the Lord chooses. And you shall offer your burnt offerings, the meat, the blood, and the blood on the altar of the Lord your God. And the blood of your sacrifices shall be poured out on the altar of the Lord your God, and you shall eat the meat. Observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you do not, or that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, "How did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise." You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods, for they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, God regulates worship. God is the one who tells us what we are to do. If we think that we can come up with worship on our own, God is very clear that we will come up with that which is an abomination to him, that which he hates. We are called to submit ourselves to what God says. God tells us what he wants in worship. Yes, we don't have exactly the time. There are certain things that we have to make up for ourselves, but we are very clear that we are to worship God on the Lord's Day, the New Testament Sabbath. God is very clear that we are to worship him, and we are to gather together with his people for worship. The commandments, of course, as we said last Lord's Day, help us, teach us what we are to do, the first four commandments. The first commandment is who we are to worship. The second commandment is how are we to worship, not with images and idols. The third commandment is where are we to worship, where God has placed his name. And the fourth commandment is when are we to worship? On the Sabbath, which of course in the New Testament is the Lord's Day, the day of resurrection. And God says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. The regulative principle of worship that God gives to us is that we are to do what God commands. We are not to add to or subtract from it. There are some, of course, who say to us that as long as God has not forbidden it, we may do it in worship. But that's not what God says. God says, whatever I command you, you shall not add, you shall not take away from it. And so as we considered last Lord's Day, we looked at the worship which God, the one true God, requires. That he tells us when, he tells us where. And he continues to remind us of that as we continue in our passage this morning. In verses 12 through 26, we look at the life and death of animals as regulated by God in worship and in food preparation. And then in verses 29 through 32, we see that the world's ideas of worship easily ensnare us. We are to be careful to observe God's commands, not our own ideas. And so first of all, the life and death of animals is regulated by God. We have to understand that. God tells us what to do. We live in a world which has become more and more enamored with itself, with its own ideas, and we come up with silly ideas like non-meat protein. Think of all the fun stuff, the chemicals they have to use for that. But the point is, God gave us animals all the way back after sin, and it may have predated sin, but I would not argue hard on that. God gave animals for food. But certainly following the fall, and God reiterates that as he's blessing Noah and his sons after the flood, He says, I have given you every animal for food. And yet there were to be blood sacrifices as well. And we have to think of the context that's going on here. That the unbelieving nations were very much pagan, even as our own culture goes that way, and didn't have any idea what to do with animals and the killing of animals for food. They're scared of it. The pagan cultures turn it into worship. Every animal. You think about if you've ever watched some of these survivalist TV shows or something like that. What do? They thank the animal. And we are called to thank God for the animal. God puts that there for our food. Think of the Philistines, that they worshipped fish. Think of the Baal worship. Do you know who Baal was? Baal was a bull. That's what Baal is. And it was a fertility cult. They worship these animals. Brothers and sisters, we are to worship God. God requires worship of Him. And, yes, in the Old Testament, there were sacrifices of animals. And so God distinguishes for the Jews. And these, of course, these blood sacrifices point us forward to the sacrifice of our Savior in His offering of Himself on our behalf. And so we are to worship how God requires, where God requires. And of course, that was for the Jews, first of all at the tabernacle and then at the temple. In the New Testament, God places His name on us as the believers. And so we are to gather together in worship as the church of God, and there is where we bring our offerings. Now, not bloody offerings, but we bring our offerings in thanksgiving to God. He says it a couple of times, almost exactly parallel there in verse 6. You shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heaves offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your households in which the Lord your God has blessed you. Now notice, in all to which you have put your hand. Are there times when God says, hey, you put your hand to it, but it's not going anywhere? Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. God cares for us in the times when He stops us, just as much as when He cares for us when He guides us through the pathway. Think of Paul on his missionary journeys was not allowed to go into Asia Minor. It's okay. And so God says our worship is to be in the place where God places His name, among God's people in the New Testament. And we are to gather together. Notice what all the people. With your sons, with your daughters, with your male and female servants, with the Levite who is within your gates. The Levites were those who were called to be operating about the worship of God, set aside to that end. And He says, since He has no portion nor inheritance with you, that is for the pastor. By the way, that's one of the reasons we often in the New Testament context don't have parsonages for pastors. That's a parallel to the Old Testament with the Levite. You shall not make burnt offerings wherever you want. Israel did this often throughout their time. They had offerings in all the high places. We can worship God here just as well as there. We are called, the Belgic Confession calls us to, and reminds us that we are to worship where the true people of God gather together. We don't just get to go to any church we want to worship God. God calls us to gather together where His Word is preached in its truth. That's why what's on the bottom of up front of our bulletins, preaching the whole counsel of God. We need to be careful that we don't shy away from parts of it that perhaps our culture doesn't like so very well. We need the truth of God. And we need to come together to worship God, to bring our tithes, to bring our offerings where God has gathered together His people. That needs to be central to who we are as human beings and as Christians, not something that's tertiary. And Israel again and again chides, or God again and again chides Israel for worshiping, for offering under every green tree or in every high place. You shall worship and offer your burnt offerings, verse 14, where the Lord your God chooses. Your burnt offerings, your blood offerings, jumping to verses 27 and 28. Again, God repeats this again and again and again because Israel again and again and again didn't do this. And by the way, brothers and sisters, when we see Israel, we ought not think, well, we're better than that. We need to see ourselves and how easy it is for us to be pulled aside because, well, that church offers better programs or for our kids or these or the other things. We need to be where God's word is preached in truth, not where we think, according to human ideas, these are better. It's a dangerous thing because what becomes more important than the word of God? I was just talking, we gathered together yesterday with the pastors down in Aberdeen. And people say, well, I can go over here, or I can go over there. And then they wonder, why is my kid following this teaching? Well, you raised them there. And we are to eat, they continued, God says, in worship. One of the parts of worship for the Israelites was to have the food that they had offered as a part of their worship. They would eat it before the Lord where He had placed His name, verses 17 through 19. Those things specifically designed for worship, you can't eat within your gates, God says. God requires worship of us. There's this idea of fellowship with worship. And I highly recommend to us that we would have fellowship meals on a much more regular basis because we are to fellowship as God's people and to fellowship before God. The Lord's Supper has a small part of that. But if we think of what was going on in the Corinthian church, yes, they were failing at it, we're told, but they had what they were called the agape feasts after the Lord's Supper. And they would have a feast to celebrate as a part of that fact of gathering together for the Lord's Supper. On the other hand, slaughter of food is not worship, but it is regulated by God. The slaughter of animals is not always worship. You may slaughter and eat meat within your gates, we're told, verses 15 and 16. Food for eating does not need the blessing of a priest and does not need to be killed in the temple. You may slaughter it, and you may eat it whether you're clean or unclean. Remember in Israel, there were a lot of people, a lot of times when you would be unclean, and you would not be allowed to go to the Passover, to go into the temple to worship God. But God says, if you're just eating food, it's not holy in that manner. You can eat it. It's okay. And how much does He say? As much as you desire to eat that the Lord your God has given you. The church culture, often throughout history, young people in catechism, we've talked about this, have this ascetic notion, this idea that we need to deny our bodies because it's going to make me a better Christian. Well, we need to be very careful that God has given us these things to eat and to enjoy, to use in this world, not to hide from. But on the other hand, you shall not eat it with the blood. You shall pour it out on the earth like water. I'm sorry to those of you who like blood sausage. God says no. This was reiterated, by the way, in the Acts 15 Council of the Church. The Gentile Christians were called to avoid blood. That's Acts 15, verse 20. God calls for them to eat the meat and they were allowed to kill it. But we have to be careful that we do not eat the blood. And in providing food, note verse 19, that you do not forsake the Levite as long as you live in the land. This is the second time that the Levite is mentioned to us in this passage. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 11, if we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? For those who live by the preaching of the Word of God. And so God reminds us that we are to worship God where He has gathered His people. And at that same time, He reminds us also that even the killing of an animal needs to be regulated by Him. That the blood is the life of the animal. Without blood, the animal dies. And God says that blood is to be poured out on the ground. Those offerings point us to the sacrifice of our Savior on our behalf. That He offered His body, that He shed His blood in our place, that we deserved to be sacrificed for our sins. And then, as we said last Lord's Day, this passage has an ABA sort of picture. God reminds us of what we heard last Lord's Day very heavily. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you. And that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. Notice that this is not about serving particular gods. It is about serving God in the manner that the nations served their gods. The world's ideas of worship easily are enticing to us. But we have to be very careful that we are not ensnared by those ideas, that we are observing God's commands. Their ideas are enticing. Makes worship more entertaining. What does God say? By the foolishness of the gospel preached. We don't need a good TV program. We don't need a big multimedia presentation, whatever that might be. We need some weirdo up here telling us what God says in His Word. Why is that? Because the Word of God is more powerful than TV presentation, than all of these other things. The Word of God is what we need, because God speaks to us in that Word. When I speak, when I am according to God's Word, it is not my Word, it is God's Word. It's not because I have a high opinion of myself. It is because what God says. Take heed that we are not ensnared to follow after, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? God's Word is the center of our worship. We need to understand why we do what we do in worship, that there are reasons for this. Paul says, God sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That's why the sacraments don't get a central place. Yes, they're important. Yes, we're called to do them. But we're not called to do them every Sunday or very, very often. We're called to do them on a quarterly, regular basis by God. There are direct commands in Scripture, and there are things that we understand by inferring from what Scripture says. We call that good and necessary inference. We do the things that God requires. Pray, sing, read Scripture. We have offerings. We have a sermon as the center of our worship. And our order of worship is governed by God's Word, not by any human idea. And we're called not to innovate, to come up with our own ideas, saying, what do I want to do? What does God want me to do? That's what's important. When we think that our own ideas come up into that category, we are setting ourselves equal to God. That's not where God wants us. God calls us to be obedient. You shall not add to nor take away from God's commands for worship. God regulates it. God tells us where, God tells us when, God tells us who, and God tells us how. And we need to bow and say, Amen. Thus saith the Lord. That's our regulation of what we do here. And then when God is most glorified, to quote John Piper, then we are most edified. When God is getting what he deserves, then it's going to be a blessing to us. But that's a byproduct. You know what a byproduct is, don't you? That's not the central thing we're about. So many churches are about my experience. We need to be about God's experience. The rest of it falls into place. What does God desire in worship? All the rest of it then comes out of that fact. When God receives his due, then we will receive what we need through worship. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we will close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us commands for what we are to do in worship, because we so easily would come up with our own ideas. And you tell us that if we do, when we do as they were at that time, everyone doing what was right in their own eyes, this is abomination to you. And so, Lord, we pray that we would submit our wills to you in worship, that we would do what you desire of us. As we look in your word, as we seek from your word what you desire in worship, we pray, O Lord, guide us to glorify, to honor you, our great and awesome God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you went to the cross, that you offered your blood, your lifeblood, in our place, fulfilling these offerings of the Old Testament and bringing us forward to the day in which we shall rise again. How we long for that day to be risen into the wondrous glory of the new heavens and the new earth which you have given to us. We pray, O Lord, that we would submit our wills to you. We pray, Lord, all of this in Jesus' name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.